everybody, this is The Simpson Show. I am Robbie with my co-host Matt, and we are here to talk about The Simpsons from the beginning. Matt, how are you?
I believe I'm in a shame spiral at the moment, and that enables my life script. Am I saying that correctly?
I will attempt to not be a co-culprit.
Okay. Well, I guess I'll just go be depressed somewhere else then.
I think you're supposed to be happy now. Because
we settled our emotional conflict.
Yes. Hey, guys.
That's how that works.
Yeah. We are brought to you by our supporters on Patreon. Patreon.com/TheSimpsonShow. We have a slew of people to thank, Matt. A slew of them.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. A slew. That's quite a few.
Got a wave. First of all, Will Geiger. Will, thank you.
Thank you, Will.
Jesse Cortez. Thank you very much, Jesse.
Jesse, you rock.
We have JG. That's what it says on the Patreon, so thank you.
I assume it's Jay Giles. He dumped his band and is on Patreon now. So thanks, JG.
And finally, Ashton Moore. Ashton, thank you very much.
Thank you, Ashton.
But with all those, all the new supporters, we are only $3 away from our next goal, which is reviewing new episodes. We'll be releasing shorter audio reviews of new episodes as they come out, probably the week of. I'm really excited about that. Our next bonus episode will be up as well, would be a book club review of Planet Simpson by Chris Turner, which I bought a copy for Matt, and he already owned it.
Well, you did only pay a penny, so...
And I paid $4 for shipping, too. $4 and a penny.
Whoa, 401.
Exactly. And I am still writing weekly articles. For only $2, you can access all of that bonus content. And for more, you can get some other stuff. So please check that out. Really appreciate it. Also, the Extra Life Gaming Charity is where I believe the official day is actually yesterday is the time you hear this. But I will be streaming officially 24 hours on November 14th, which will be next Saturday at the time that at release. I will also be streaming pretty much all day Tuesday after the day. I think that is the 10th, because I'll be streaming Fallout 4 basically all day, trying to raise back a little bit extra money. I'll be playing it anyway. Might as well try and raise some more money for some sick kids. You can find that link in our show notes on all our social media on our website. extra-life.org/team/TheSimpsonsShow. It's not too late to join or donate. Got a huge donation today from an anonymous donor, so thank you very much. Also, finally, before we get to this episode, please rate, review, subscribe to us on iTunes or wherever you listen to us. It really helps us out. We got a big bump this week. I really appreciate those who take the few moments it takes to write us a review, give us a rating. If you don't know what to say, say this. Maybe it's the beer talking, but you've got a podcast that won't quit. They've got these big chewy pretzels here. $5, get out of here.
But don't leave. Yeah, don't actually get out of here, because we love you.
No, please stay. You guys are the best. This week's episode is Bart's Inner Child, episode 1F05. Originally aired November 11th, 1993. Written by George Meyer. Directed by Bob Anderson. This is his directorial debut on The Simpsons. It finished 40th in the ratings that week. Nielsen rating of 11.8. Viewed 11.12 million viewing households. Highest ratio on Fox that week.
Woo!
Keeps it up. The couch gag. There is a gigantic man on the couch, and the family squeezes in next to them.
It's just like being on the bus.
I don't know what you're talking about.
You've never had to squeeze around a large person on the bus because they're in the outside seat?
I just stand.
Oh, that's a good policy as well.
Yeah.
Also works for planes.
Standing on planes, not suggested. Guest stars Albert Brooks, who's always amazing, as Brad Goodman, James Brown as himself, and Phil Hartman as Troy McClure. The episode begins with the family at breakfast, doing breakfasty things, gabbing, you know, doing their back and forth.
Chitty-chatting,
when Homer sees an ad in the paper.
The daily newspaper.
Ooh, the Springfield Men's Shelter is giving away 60 soiled mattresses.
Why do you read that free column, Homer? They never have anything good.
Trampoline! Trampoline!
He said what now? Please, don't bring home any more old crutches.
Trampoline, Matt.
Trampoline, and also burn those mattresses. My God, burn them. Like, do it in a healthy outdoors environment where you won't get smothered by the fumes.
Don't bring home any more crutches. Apparently, Homer drives like a madman to get to the trampoline. Apparently, and Krusty is giving it away. Krusty gives him like a little Twilight Zone, like ironic laughter as he drives away with the trampoline.
Homer, of course, completely misses that.
He does not get any kind of foreshadowing or a warning from Krusty's weird behavior. They set it up the house. The kids love it. They start to respect Homer as a parent because apparently that's all it takes is a trampoline. It's all you need.
Well, basically any large fun gesture. So ponies or trampolines or dirt bikes, those are the kind of things kids respect.
Pools.
Pools also. Pools, yes, definitely well. Pools.
Marge is a little hesitant. She, you know, she doesn't necessarily think the trampoline's a good idea.
Come on, what could go wrong with a trampoline? Seriously.
Okay, Matt, how much experience do you have with trampolines in your life?
Quite a bit. I've gotten hurt several times on them.
Yes, me too. Crazy. Everyone you talk to, without fail, someone has gotten hurt. If you've been on a trampoline more than a few times and not gotten hurt, it's like a miracle. They're so dangerous.
That leads to the fun. That's what makes it so much a blast to be on.
Do you ever hear like a good trampoline story? It's always like, oh yeah, this guy got his leg broken in half when he fell wrong.
Most of the trampoline stories I hear are along the lines of, oh man, this one time I flipped like all the way around 7 times and then landed on my shoulder.
Yeah, there
so,
you go.
It's a little bit of the good with the bad.
No, that's, if it ends with the injury, it's not, Matt. Homer has a grand ideas for this trampoline. It's going to be, I guess, the first part of his theme park, which involves its Trampoline World, Mucksville, USA, which is just mud. And then Ford Adventure, which is those using those mattresses.
Soiled mattresses, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So we just grab all that free stuff and theme park, here we come. The trampoline, like later on when they get the pool, like it becomes a attraction for the neighborhood.
Apparently they're the rich family in the neighborhood, which is really saying something.
They have a trampoline. Otto dislocates his shoulder. Ralph bites his tongue, which is honestly probably the least harmful thing. I mean, as long as it's not clean through. Rod and Todd try and get closer to God, end up hitting each other.
They made God angry.
They made God angry. We get a field of injured kids a la Gone with the Wind, like Civil War soldiers. And Homer is forced to return the trampoline, or at least attempt to. He drives up the trampoline on the back of his car, and Krusty is waiting for him, apparently, like, knowing that it was going to happen, with his shotgun.
A double-barreled shotgun. In case.
Just in case. Homer, we have, like, a short, like, Looney Tunes vignette, basically, where he tries to, he throws it off of a desert cliff. It bounces off of a rock and comes back up and traps him inside of the rock, like Wile E. Coyote. And they have a little extended bit about how, like, that first subverts the Looney Tunes kind of expectations where, you know, he is expected that the cliff's going to fall, but then, like, a day goes by and it doesn't. And then eventually it does. So it comes,
just falls
it,
off.
It goes all the way back around, and Homer apparently is fine. None the worse the wear for intrusion.
Well, that's the perfect blending of Looney Tunes and real world physics, because the Simpsons generally are very rooted in real world physics, which is one of the things they talk about in the Simpsons World Book. But hey, be a Patreon subscriber and hear that episode. This is one of those instances.
Sales pitch in the middle. Nice sales pitch. I like that, man. That's good.
But this is one of those times where the Simpsons, you know, they just shift a little bit into the more cartoonier side of things, and then at the end invert it again to make it a really funny joke. So it doesn't seem like it would really be that funny, but when you watch it, you will die laughing the first time because it's so weird to go back and forth between reality, crazy, reality, back to crazy again.
Oh, and it's a clear reference to the Looney Tunes. I think we all kind of, I mean, are Looney Tunes still like syndicated? Do people still watch? The kids still watch Looney Tunes? It's a question.
You know, I don't know.
I think it is. I feel like it's a thing that should never go away. Looney Tunes should be. Oh, yeah. I need to get those D's. Bart finally, you know, Homer doesn't know what he does. Battle with the trampoline with a circular saw and loses. And Bart finally gives Homer the right idea of how to get rid of this trampoline. You know, you put a bike lock on it, and then within 5 seconds, Snake steals it.
He's going to use it as a bed, which is a much better idea than actually jumping on it, because that seems to be pretty comfortable to have a trampoline for a bed.
Yeah, it probably wouldn't be bad. I mean, you'd have to sleep outside, but...
Unless you have a really awesome living room.
How do you get a trampoline inside a living room, Matt?
You unhook it, then you, you know,
disassemble, disassemble. Okay, that's yeah. a lot of work. And Homer and Marge, after having the trampoline, is they are rid of it. They have a little. They have one of their talks in bed about Marge and about I get the trampoline and everything.
Shh, quiet! Wake up, old man Simpson.
Hey, no more trampoline.
Let's jump on the car instead.
Okay, the trampoline was a bad idea. But you know what? At least I'm out there trying new things. If it were up to you, all we'd ever do is work and go to church.
That's not true.
Name one thing you've done in the past month that was fun.
I can name 10 things. I made Sloppy Joes.
That's not fun.
Which, Sloppy Joes are kind of fun.
Sounds pretty fun. Yeah, Sloppy Joes are delicious.
Sloppy Joes are pretty good. A few things I would do want to note about that is that I like the fact that they're confronting that again, like last week you talked about, you know, the friendship and the rebellious kind of sitcom mother kind of thing. And this is like hitting that from a different angle, and that, you know, the sitcom mother is often like the poo-pooer, you know, the party pooper, the one who ruins all the fun, doesn't want to necessarily.
The one who's all about safety and rules and those
yeah,
sorts
exactly.
Of
and this episode kind of confronts that in a certain way. And also Marge is naked in the bed, which I always appreciate that, because there's plenty of people who do not wear clothes to bed and you never see that on television.
Well, you're not allowed. I mean, that gives people the idea that maybe something happens in the bedroom.
I know.
And that's just not allowed.
Ooh, risque. Marge tries to go to the kids to, like, maybe they don't feel like that she's so nagging all the time. And then we get a montage of murmurs and bad ideas and, you know, quotes from Marge over the first few seasons that basically... And Lisa's unable to actually, in a straight face, say anything, and Homer... You know, takes that as proof that they agree with him. Marge is upset. It's more angry Marge, but it's still, she almost hits Flanders with her car. So that's something.
You almost nicked me there.
I know, poor Flanders. But she goes to see her sisters, which is, I mean, the kind of default place for Marge to go when she's angry. They're, you know, a support system.
She doesn't really have friends or anything.
I know. Where's Ruth Powers? It was just last episode.
Yeah, right? It's weird.
But they introduce her to a self-help guru who can help her out, named Brad Goodman.
You need Brad Goodman. His infomercial plays round the clock on Channel 77.
Thank you, Martha Quinn. There you have it. Unrehearsed testimonies from important celebrities. She's one of my favorites. I loved her in The Thing I Saw Her In. You know, my course can help you with every personality disorder in the feel-bad rainbow. Let's look at the rainbow. What's in there? Depression, insomnia, motor mouth, darting eyes, indecisiveness, decisiveness, bossiness, uncontrollable falling down, geriatric profanity disorder, or GPD. And chronic nagging, 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 nagging.
Sorry, it does that sometimes.
Nagging.
That's a nice little moment there. The play on the echo that Marge, you know, is supposedly hearing in her head. We hear Albert Brooks as Brad Goodman, who is a play on an actual self-help guru named John Bradshaw, who exists. He's written many bestsellers, appeared on Oprah and Dr. Phil, and he currently is he's in his late 80s or 90s at this point.
Oh wow!
But he's a professor or a fellow or something at some institute, very similar to Brad Goodman, you know, and that he actually has no actual credentials in any way.
He's like Dr. Phil. He's not an actual doctor. He's just, you know, he knows people, man.
Yeah, exactly. But with that, we go to commercial.
And when we come back, we see Marge has, she's acquired the Brad Goodman video, which I assume she sent away for, and she kind of forces Homer to watch. Not like super forces, but, you know, heavily implies that Homer should watch with him. And I apologize at the length of this clip, but I couldn't stop. It's too good.
Oh, hi, I'm Troy McClure. You might remember me from such self-help videos as Smoke Yourself Thin and Get Confident, Stupid. Well, now I'm here to tell you about the only real path to mental health. That's right. It's the Brad Goodman something or other.
Marge, can I go outside and play?
Shh. A few weeks ago, I was a washed-up actor with a drinking problem. Then Brad Goodman came along and gave me this job and a can of fortified wine. Ah, sweet liquor eases the pain. And now I'd like to introduce the man who will put the you in improvement. Brad Goodman!
Thank you so much, Troy. And by the way, I'm not happy you're still drinking. But at least you're down to one from more than 50. Folks, I'm often asked about my qualifications. Well, I may not have a lot of credentials or training, but I'll tell you one thing. I'm a PhD in pain. Now let me show you how you can change your life. Troy, this circle is you.
My God, it's like you've known me all my life.
So there you have it. Albert Brooks doing an amazing job as Brad Goodman. You have Phil Hartman doing Troy McClure, which is just we start to see a little more that apparently Troy McClure is now washed up and alcoholic.
Yeah.
What character is fortified wine? Is that just like more alcoholic wine?
Yeah, basically. It's not. Yeah, it's really bad wine. It's not okay, really. I mean, I'm sure there is fortified wine that is a little bit more like, I don't know, upper class, higher scale, better. But usually fortified wine, when you think of it, is basically like, it's like malt liquor of wine.
Okay, basically. Good to know.
Or where like, you know, it's cheaper and doesn't taste great. It just has a lot of alcohol in it and it gets you drunk.
Okay.
But this is
my wife.
No, this is you don't want to drink fortified. This is like kind of a crazy thing where Phil Hartman and Albert Brooks, the two best guest stars in The Simpsons in the same scene. And it's really kind of, this never happens again. I mean, Albert Brooks is only in a very few amount of episodes and, you know, Phil Hartman unfortunately passes before, you know, there's an opportunity for this again. So this is this episode is worth watching just for that. And I kind of wish there was more between the two, even though just this scene is like, I don't blame you for capturing all of that because all of it is great.
Yeah, it's one of those things where I really wish they could have brought both of them on to do more voices because, you know, Harry Shearer and Hank Azaria, they do a lot of voices. And I kind of wish they could have had Phil Hartman and Albert Brooks as, you know, one of those people who just provides a ton of voices. It may have diluted them a little bit, but they're so good at it. The show probably would have been even better having the rest of them do some voices.
Well, this is a thing that I've thought about a lot. And I think some of the fact that as the seasons go on, they get a little bit tired and a little bit, and I think a lot of it is the dearth of voices. I mean, there's only so many voices that Harry Shearer can do, that Hank Azaria can do. they do a ton of them, but people only have so much range. And at a certain point, I have to think that they don't add on another cast member who could maybe do five more voices and give us a little bit more reoccurring characters because they don't want to pay them. You had another cast member, they make a lot of money, and it's like a substantial portion of the budget, and they don't want that. So they can have a celebrity guest star who will appear one time, and they'll get paid for one episode, and probably won't be it that much. But that's...
Yeah, it's one of those things where I wish they would pick up somebody who's, you know, not a celebrity, but maybe somebody who's just starting out in the voice acting world, but has potential. And that way they don't have to pay them quite as much, but, you know, they can get, you know, ingrained within the show and maybe, you know, their pay goes up over time, but they're able to contribute more than one voice, you know, for one episode kind of thing.
I don't know. At this point, I think the ship has sailed because you hear rumors about how long the show's going to go on. And it's only, you know, Al Jean says season 30 is the last one, probably, maybe. Who knows? I mean, they could get to 30
we'll
and go. There'll be five more, but I think that ship has sailed.
Yeah.
But... Great scene,
anyway,
though. It's great.
Fantastic. Like, Troy McClure, I really love the animation, especially towards the end of that clip where Troy McClure, you can see him in the background while Brad Goodman is talking, just, like, trying to get every little drop of fortified wine out of the can.
And the champagne as well at the end.
Oh, the champagne. Yeah, that's what he's going for. But once that's over, we see the Simpson family in their usual activities at home, where Marge comes into the living room from the kitchen and asks, "Hey, Homer, did you eat my entire pan of brownies?" And, well, things get a little weird.
Homer, did you eat my whole pan of brownies?
Uh-oh, you're in for it now, Dad.
Marge,
I'm feeling a lot of shame right now.
I'm hearing that you feel a lot of shame.
And I feel that you hear my shame.
I'm feeling annoyance and frustration, but also tolerance.
I feel validated by that.
Good. I'm glad we had this talk.
Me too.
So there you go. That is the Brad Goodwin effect. Everyone says what their feelings are, but nothing is actually, you know, worked out.
Yeah,
That's kind of his method.
It's good to get your feelings out there, but it's so abstracted that it doesn't necessarily solve anything.
Exactly. The problem is still the problem. You didn't actually do anything.
You didn't. Homer's still going to eat brownies. But hearing it makes you realize how weird that is and how, like...
No, it's very techno-babbly,
yeah.
Like Star Trek-ese, but for psychology.
Yeah, exactly. But it really nails, like, I don't know how many of out there have known people who are into the self-help genre and go through a lot of those books, but I have known those people, and they, yes.
Yep.
Albert Brooks really nails Brad, that he's very soft-spoken, but he actually sounds a lot like Dr. Phil, honestly. In this episode, well before Dr. Phil existed as a figure.
You're talking about his voice or what the kind of things he says?
His voice. It's like a very soft.
Really?
Yeah, I hear like a little bit of southern accent in there. I mean, Dr. Phil gets a lot louder a lot of the time, but it's very much like, you know, I'm going to listen.
Okay, yeah. I thought you meant like because Albert Brooks in this episode has a very kind of gravelly tone.
Well, it's Albert. It's still his voice. It's still his voice, but I mean, it's very much, he nails that cadence really well.
Yes, that is exactly right. He really does. But the kids, of course, are curious as to what's going on. They're a little confused that Homer isn't getting yelled at, which he should be, because entire pan of brownies. Come on, man. Save some for everybody else. But later on, we learn that Brad Goodman is coming to Springfield. And Homer doesn't care about going because him and Marge are fine now. And when he asks, why would we bother to go? And then when we cut to Bart, I believe he is riding a chair in the garbage disposal.
Yes, he is. Okay. It's pretty awesome, actually.
So it's pretty obvious the Simpsons still have a few issues to work out. So they go to see him, along with the entire town. Like, this place is packed with everyone from Springfield that we know wants to go hear Brad Goodman talk. And of course, Brad Goodman comes out and he starts talking about, oh, you know, let me hear your problems. Just shout them out to me. And we see problems with, let's see.
Mr. Burns is too nice.
Lenny is always interrupting people. Mr. Burns is too nice.
Yeah.
Moe doesn't talk with his accent anymore.
We don't get to hear a poo because he gets interrupted.
Right.
By Lenny.
Right. Or a poo.
Yeah.
But then we transition to the best Principal Skinner thing, I think, in their entire season. It's great.
Principal Skinner, let's try some rage work. I want you to pretend this dummy right here is your mother.
Okay, I'll try.
Tell this dummy mother exactly how you feel right now.
I'm annoyed with you, Mother. Not just annoyed, angry. I'm a grown man now, and I can run my own life!
Calm down. Oh, moving. You can sit down now.
We're still going antiquing on Saturday, right, Mother?
So yeah, we can see that the Skinner and his mother relationship is it's a little complicated, apparently.
Well, I think that's always been hinted at. I mean, this adds a little bit to. There's a lot of things in this episode that add to the depth of, you know, side characters. We saw that with Troy McClure. We see this with Skinner. You know, with Moe's storied ethnicity.
It's like a guy named Sizzlack has an Italian accent. Okay, sure. If you say so.
Well, I mean, it changes so often, but this adds a little bit to the depth. And this whole section here, especially, and later on, and then in the next act as well. The Springfield as a mob, it appears.
You're terrified?
Yeah. Like, you know, the town is a entity unto itself.
Mm-hmm. But then the worst of the worst happens, and Brad Goodman calls up Bart onto the stage. And
don't
Bart,
you,
of course,
don't,
is in the
don't
fake
you mean,
name.
Don't you mean Rudiger?
Rudiger, yes. He calls little Rudiger up to the stage. And, of course, Bart is doing what Brad Goodman says. He's always expressing his feelings without any thought to the consequences. So Brad Goodman calls Homer and Marge up on the stage. And Brad Goodman immediately criticizes Homer's eating problem because Homer is, of course, eating two candy apples while he's on stage. And he calls Marge's hairstyle bizarre, which, you know, it is, but it's kind of rude to act like that. or to say it in front of a whole bunch of people. And for some reason, Brad Goodman he loves Bart, because Bart is exactly what he's talking about. He's saying, just, you know, let your feelings out there, the world would be a better place, which is not true. A little bit, you know, it's always a matter of degrees. So he starts a chant of the entirety of Springfield saying, be like boy, be like boy. And then, of course, we have the elderly folks saying, we like Roy, because they can't hear. Ha ha.
Ha ha.
And then we have the entire town rushing out and buying all the Brad Goodman merchandise, leaving Lisa as the only person who notices what he's doing and says, oh, he's just peddling a bunch of easy answers. And as Carl runs by, he says, and how? And poor Lisa is, you know, left slightly dejected at the thought of everyone acting like Bart. And with that, we go to commercial.
And this, I mean, it's something we see in Lisa a lot. You know, she's yeah. the voice of reason, you know, that often is left out in the cold when the town goes crazy.
She's the person who's like, hey, wait a minute.
Yeah. Whacking Day is probably the last episode that we've done. I think that had that.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it happens again and again. And it always works for me. I always enjoy seeing her kind of struggle with, you know, being in this culture that she can't, you know, she's not of the crowd like everyone else in the town is.
She's like every smart person who grew up in the South. It's like that'll always be part of you. It's kind of like Southern Bastards and Jason Aaron and Jason Latour to bring in comic books. But it's one of those things where for poor Lisa, growing up in Springfield will always be part of her. But it's the kind of part of her she's slightly embarrassed of, but she has to acknowledge as part of her. But, you know, it's just one of those weird things.
I was not expecting you to bring up Southern Bastards, Matt.
Well, it was appropriate.
It's a very good comic book.
It is. You should all go read it right now.
I don't know about everyone. I don't know if I would give that a blanket. Everyone should read that comic. Read an issue and then decide. Now the whole town is now doing this. The whole town is doing whatever their first impulse is. And Bart is struggling with this. We see this in class.
The wireless was an invention by Guglielmo Marconi. Who can tell me what his first message was?
I want a change of my name!
Good one, Milhouse. Anyone else? The first message by wireless.
It was...
Our 10th caller will receive tickets to Supertramp!
Jeez, everybody's a comedian.
And, you know, we see Bart go to spit off the overpass. Like, he's very kind of, like, you know, town, you know, Dennis the Menace type, you know, prank stuff.
Ooh, yeah.
And everyone else is doing it already. He's kind of lost his niche. And then he goes to Lisa, and she kind of lays it out pretty clearly, actually.
Aww. Lisa, everyone in town is acting like me. So why does it suck?
It's simple, Bart. You've defined yourself as a rebel, and in the absence of a repressive milieu, your societal niche has been co-opted.
I see.
Ever since that self-help guy came to town, you've lost your identity. You've fallen through the cracks of our quick-fix, one-hour photo instant oatmeal society.
What's the answer?
Well, this is your chance to develop a new and better identity. May I suggest good-natured doormat?
Sounds good, sis. Just tell me what to do.
So that's it's a good gag.
It's a great gag. And I think it's funny that the reason Bart is... feeling this way, I think, is because when this happens to a lot of people, they become an idol. We'll actually see something kind of like this in the I Didn't Do It Boy episode that's coming up pretty soon. But normally the person who starts a trend like this, people emulating them like crazy, is lifted up as, you know, some kind of idol. But for some reason, the people of Springfield don't really do this. They eventually blame him when things go wrong, but they idolize Brad Goodman as the one who told them to be like him. And Bart gets like none of the glory. So it's a very interesting, you know, commentary on what happens when you're the source of fame, but no one likes you for it.
Yeah, and we see that the town has a Do What You Feel festival, which is basically just everyone does whatever they want, which seems very dangerous, especially in Springfield. Yeah. And this is what I was talking about a little bit earlier about, you know, the Springfield as a mob, where we see the Pooh and the family on a skateboard, Skinner using a slingshot, Patty and Selma riding around town naked on a horse. Naked, okay. Horse?
Yeah, that's the creepy part right there.
I don't, like, where did they get a horse?
Naked on a bicycle? Totally cool. They have lots of those all over the place. Horse. Naked on a horse, creepy.
I guess they're going for the whole, what's the name of that? The famous naked lady on a horse.
Lady Godiva?
Lady Godiva. They're probably going for that. Quimby is the MC of the affair, sort of, and admits his affair in front of everyone, and then announces a special on one of our guest stars, James Brown.
Ow! I feel good! Ha! I knew that I wouldn't die! Hell! I feel good! Good God! I knew that I would! How? So good! So good! I got you! Wow! Hey, wait a minute! Hold on here! This bandstand wasn't double bolted! Huh!
I love that James Brown knows what being double bolted is.
It's just, they talk about this a little bit, the creators, about, like, that line, they like giving celebrities lines they, you know, you wouldn't normally expect from them, and that is the epitome of it. This band and his delivery, I don't know how much of that is intentional on James Brown's part, but that is hilarious. This bandstand wasn't double bolt. It's just beautiful. Ferris, they start playing the blame game, Matt.
Well, yeah.
which not allowed to do apparently, but it was that an unnamed janitor, like, it's not, what is he, a mechanic of some sort that we never see again? I don't think.
No, he's definitely the only time as far as I can tell.
And then Willie didn't grease the Ferris wheel, so it breaks off its, I don't know what you, axle, I guess is what that is.
Axle, yeah, I think yeah. So.
And then rolls into the zoo and lets all the animals out, because, of course, and a riot breaks out very shortly. Everyone's fighting. And they're trying, I guess, in the middle of all this, they decide they don't know who to blame. So they blame Bart. And we get the Bart, this is the first time Bart says eep.
I believe so. I don't recall hearing it.
I can't remember it either before, but it's very reminiscent. Again, a Looney Tunes kind of thing, where it's like one little noise. Eep. Mm-hmm. And he runs. Homer is somehow Homer is driving afloat.
Well, yeah.
It just is. And he grabs Bart, pulls him into the float, and they're to escape.
So long, suckers!
Bam! They're very slowly getting away.
They're heading for the old mill.
No, we're not.
Well, let's go to the old mill anyway. Get some cider.
Which we'll come back to a little later, the old mill and its cider.
They're very slowly getting away. There's so many things in this episode I've collected, like a lot of memorable, like Simpsons famous lines that were in this episode. I completely forgot they were here. But Homer and Bart get away, and the family has like one of their on the couch kind of wrapping up the episode moments. We're all fine the way we are, right, Matt?
Yeah, absolutely. No one should ever change.
Good.
If only Bart had been a better role model for everyone.
That's not fair. The lesson here is that self-improvement is better left to people who live in big cities.
No, self-improvement can be achieved, but not with a quick fix. It's a long, arduous journey of personal and spiritual discovery.
That's what I've been saying. We're all fine the way we are.
I love that Lisa's line is totally true. You know, self-improvement is hard, but it's definitely worth it. And Homer's like, he takes Lisa's, you know, hard work thing to be like, oh, that means it's obviously not worth doing.
Yeah, we're fine. We're good. And it really kind of encapsulates this episode really well, honestly. Like, they do this multiple times throughout the years, like, doing, like, what did we learn? Nothing. But in this one in particular, because it is very much, it is about self-help and, like, self-improvement and learning. Like, it's not about it's about learning lessons, life lessons. Like, I really enjoy this ending in particular for this episode. We get a brief voiceover of McGonagall. McGonagall, this is how do you say that? And Homer getting angry.
McGonagall, I believe.
Homer getting angry at the television, and then the episode ends. This episode is
on TV.
Really good and better than I remember it. It is.
It's one of those great episodes where you're like, I didn't really remember a whole lot from it, but watching it as a whole, there's not a lot of bits that really stand out, but it is a very complete whole episode. It stands in contrast to the last, I think it was a couple back or something, where, you know, there were a lot of standout bits you remember, but the episode as a whole just felt kind of loose around the jokes, whereas this is the opposite kind of thing.
And then, great performances by Phil Hartman and Albert Brooks, and James Brown even. James Brown, in his brief appearance, does a really great job. And I don't know, I thought back, I'm like, I never really remembered. When you think Albert Brooks, you think Hank Scorpio, first and foremost. Mm-hmm. I know I do. And this, this rewatching it with a little bit more critical eye, it really kind of brings it up a little bit closer. It's still not as good as Hank Scorpio, but, you know, what is. It's a really great one, and we'll rank it at the end of the show. I'm interested to see where it goes.
Me too. It's going to be a tough one.
It is going to be. Well, we say that every week, Matt.
Because it's true every week.
It's true every week. You're right. No My Favorite Episode submissions for this episode, but if you have any, please email them to simpsonshowpod@gmail.com, explaining why a certain episode is your favorite, and I'll read it on air. Got a few more coming in lately, but just keep sending them in. I'm trying to keep track of them. Next up, Matt, it is time for comments from the news group.
Okay, here we are. alt.nerd.obsessive.
Comments from the news group is the segment where I comb the old alt.tv.simpsons news group. It's archived on Google Groups, still active to a certain extent. I look at the week or 2 weeks surrounding the debut of an episode and see what the people were talking about, their reaction at the time, any kind of historical things that were happening. Guess what, Matt?
What?
They still people think this episode was terrible.
Well, of course they do, because people on the internet think everything is terrible.
That's true.
They wouldn't know good stuff if it smacked them in the face.
That's very true. Someone even said it was worse than Sinbad.
Really?
There were also staunch defenders. So, of course, you had a great war of words going on. It seems to be happening every week now, where every week I look at them and, like, people are like, this is, I don't know what you guys are talking about. It is great. And it's like, this is the worst episode yet. I'm like, yet? Really? Yet?
Maybe it's hard to see in the moment how good something is, because maybe we'll look back in 5-10 years and be like, oh man, remember 2015, how good The Simpsons was in that year? And
well, what I've seen of it, I've enjoyed.
Yeah,
but I don't know. And it was mostly that. There was not much else, because we're kind of in the part of the season where there wasn't much downtime between episodes, so people were... There's also a lot of discussion. I mean, there's constant also flow of traffic from Australia, or just, you know, the seasons, I believe, they're a season behind, so they're talking about the year before's episodes. But yeah, I think with that we can move on to our next segment. It is time for our listener question of the week. No?
Let's try one more number.
Yellow?
KBBL is going to give me something stupid.
Well, hot dog, we have a wiener.
Yellow?
Our listener question of the week this week is, what is your favorite Lionel Hutz moment? There's so many good ones.
There really are.
Yeah, I get tons of responses, you guys. Keep it up. I love all the answers we get. There's a lot of heavy hitters here. First, I'm sure we have John, @JiveJohn. His answer, well, he's kind of had it in for me since I accidentally ran over his dog. Actually,
God damn it.
Place, if you think that one was not picked often, Matt, then you have a problem, because that was probably the most...
No, that was the funniest, the first one.
Accidentally ran over his dog. Actually, replace accidentally with repeatedly, and replace dog with son. Craig's answer, @CraigMcKee, works on contingency? No, money down. Daniel, @VeggieDuck, can you imagine a world without lawyers? I actually used this clip and the subsequent in a law school presentation. So extra points for that. CT @CHTHH is his Twitter handle. Look, these books aren't just for show, but full of useful legal knowledge tidbits. And Stephanie @SMG0014, well, I didn't win. Here's your pizza. But we did win. That's okay. The box is empty.
That's the most depressing part. No free pizza.
Abby, on a Facebook, Abby, Milhouse baby, Lana Hutz, your new agent, bodyguard, unauthorized biographer, and drug dealer keeper awayer. Jeff's answer, Mr. Simpson, I was going through your garbage. I couldn't help overhearing that you needed a babysitter. Of course, being a highly skilled attorney, my fee is $175 an hour. We pay $8 for the night, and you can take 2 popsicles out of the freezer. 3. 2. Okay, 2, and I get to keep this little birdcage. Done. Still got it. Steven, I'll have you know the contents of that dumpster are private. You stick your nose in, you'll be violating attorney dumpster confidentiality. Dan's answer, now, Pooh, Mrs. Simpson claims that she forgot that bottle of delicious bourbon, brownest of the brown liquors. So tempting. What's that? You mean to drink you? But I'm in the middle of a trial.
It's really good.
Finally, Chris. Mr. Simpson, this is the most blatant case of fraudulent advertising since my suit against the film, The Neverending Story. So many great lines. Matt, what is your favorite? What's your favorite Lionel Hutz moment?
I definitely have to go with the one where he says, well, replace the word dog with son. That whole bit slays me every time. When we reviewed that episode a while back, you can ask my wife, I literally just fell on the ground laughing when that came up, and she thought I hurt myself. It's so perfect. It's one of those jokes that just slides in there, like, slowly, and then they look back and you're like, wait, what did he just say?
Yeah, exactly. You're like, whoa, my answer is actually one that is not on here. So I pulled a Matt on this question. My answer is when Marge gets a job when Lionel just put the actual quote in key.
Mr. Burns, we've got witnesses, something in a paper trail a mile long.
Yes, exactly. And then I've got 10 high priced lawyers. He left his briefcase.
Phil Hartman was a genius.
He left his it's full of shredded newspaper. It's just his briefcase is just full of newspaper. Oh, it's so great. It's the best. Oh, Lionel, it's Phil Hartman. It's Phil Hartman. So good. So talented. Next week's question, another tough one. What's your favorite moment from an Albert Brooks character? I already mentioned I love for Hank Scorpio, but I'm not, you know, I have to think about it because every character he's done is good.
That's true. I mean, Hank Scorpio was the best character, but was he really the best moment?
That's what I want you guys to think about when you're answering this question this week. I'll post this question on all our social media. Facebook.com/TheSimpsonsShowPod. On Twitter @SimpsonsShowPod. And email us again @SimpsonsShowPod@gmail.com. Reach out to any of those places. Follow us, like us, you know, do social media things. I try and post stuff about updates for the show and Simpsons stuff. You know, if I see something interesting. We also have great communities building there. You guys always, you know, posting interesting things, anything Simpson related. Catch it, usually, faster than I can. I also want to give a shout out to Jamie and Holly, who wrote us a lovely email about how they have been reintroduced to The Simpsons through our podcast. I really appreciate that.
Aww.
Warm my heart. Okay, Matt, it's time for a weekly showdown. You ready?
I suppose.
It is time for the new Google Trivia Challenge.
I am too smart. I am too smart. S-M-R-T. I mean S-M-A-R-R-T.
The No Google Trivia Challenge is where Matt and I will each try and stump the other with three trivia questions. One easy, one medium, one hard. This season, we have stakes. We have a wager. Whoever loses at the end of this season, season 5, will have to drink a awful concoction with various food items that we've been suggested from you guys. Some of our own design. I think cough drop, onion rings, slices of American cheese.
The most disgusting beer ever.
Some Duff beer, Mulk. And we are calling this the Mulk Shake. We are tied 21-21 with our little scoring system. My goal is to keep it close. Because I don't know, if Matt pulls ahead, I don't think I can catch up with him. Matt, I'm going to start us off. You ready for an easy question?
All right, I am.
Name any of the characters Albert Brooks has voiced except for Brad Goodman.
I believe we're going to go with Hank Scorpio as the best one.
That is correct. That is one of the answers. No bonus points. What is my easy question?
All right, sir. Your easy question. On whose show does Itchy and Scratchy reside?
That'd be the Krusty the Clown show. Krusty the Clown's show.
That is correct.
Okay, Matt. Medium question.
Right, here's the medium.
Medium question. May notice a small theme in this. What is the name of the RV that Homer initially wants in Call of the Simpsons?
Oh, okay. I'm thinking about this.
The RV.
It's quite large.
It's got four deep fryers, one for each part of the chicken.
Has his own satellite, I believe.
I know the name of the satellite. It's Vanstar 1. Is it the Behemoth?
You're close.
Oh.
Come on. I'm. You're not wrong.
Oh, the Ultimate Behemoth.
There you go. Okay. You got it right. Woo. There you go.
I was like, I know it's Behemoth. What could it be?
You got it right.
Good job. That was close, man. All right. This one, you got a pretty good chance of getting.
Oh, good.
Your medium question. In Homer versus Patty and Selma, what does Homer owe Patty and Selma that gives them power over him?
What does he owe them?
Correct. Like, what do they give him that gives them power over him? They give him money, but what for?
I just remember the IOU on the... Is it? It's blown up.
It is.
Yeah. I haven't watched that episode in so long. IOU. So much. Saves their butt end for something that March can't know about. It's like he crashes his car to fix the car. That's my guess. I don't remember.
Is that your final answer?
That's yes.
That is incorrect. It's a mortgage payment.
A mortgage payment?
I owe you one mortgage payment. Oh, yep.
Okay. Okay, Matt. Your hard question. And I this is a type of question that I have no, like, you could know this instantly and I would not be surprised. What is the new address of The Simpsons in You Only Move Twice?
Oh, man, I don't know the number. It's Maple Systems Drive, but... all right, let me think for a second. I'm going to go with, like, 602 Maple Systems Drive.
You're right on the road, but you're wrong on the number.
Yeah, I figured.
15201 Maple Systems Road.
Oh, damn. I should have known it was 5 digits. All the pretentious streets are 5 digits.
Come on, give me a hard question, man. I got to redeem myself. I got to try
it. I think you can get this one. Mm. All right. In Lemon of Troy, what does Homer do at the end that causes the RV not to start?
Oh, he... At the end? He is...
Yes, when they're trying to escape from Shelbyville,
yeah.
Flanders goes to gun it, and he's like, something's draining the battery. What is Homer doing?
He's cooking a steak? Is that right?
You're close.
He's cooking something, isn't he?
Cooking's good enough. He's cooking chickens. He's roasting chickens. He's basting them.
Okay. All right.
That's close enough. I'll give it to you.
Okay. My first thought was he's taking a shower, but that's not true. He does that earlier.
Yes.
Yes.
It's the darkest day in the history of Springfield. If anyone needs me, I'll be in the shower.
That's also RV related.
It is. Yay, RVs.
Do you ever be interested in owning an RV, Matt?
Oh, man. Wireless internet would have to get so much better, and there would have to be no data caps. But other than that, sure, why not? I mean, I'd have to pull out a couple bedrooms and beds to make room for the monitors, but yeah, you know, it could work.
Okay, so no. that's a negatory on that one. So after today's trivia, I am 1 point up on that. I got 4 today. You got 3. That gives me 25, you 24 points. That's after 7 episodes. But it's close, and I don't know. I feel like you're...
It's make them a little tougher next week.
Yeah. I don't know. I've been on record as saying this podcast is making me worse at trivia. I'm all the new, all the my old knowledge, all the old trivia is just disappearing as all the new information for every episode is coming into my head. So I'm not retaining. I'm getting old. My brain cells aren't up to snuff anymore.
Yeah, that's what happens when you get old.
We're running a little bit long this week, so I'm gonna skip listener trivia, but I will surely include it next week. With that, Matt, it is time for our final segment. It is time for Best Episode Ever.
Best Episode Ever.
Best Episode Ever is part of our show where Matt and I rate the episodes categorically as we watch them chronologically, eventually compiling a list of every episode ever and how good they are. It's really good, Matt. This is a better than I remember it episode. It has a lot of, like, they're very slowly getting away. The Eep and, you know, Albert Brooks' performance. It's all really good. The trampoline. I really like it when Homer has made up words for things. And despite the fact that trampoline segment is kind of that random weird show opener thing that I generally never, you know, I don't like them as much as like episodes about one thing, but I really feel like it actually does tie into the kind of self-help, self-improvement thing really well. In a weird way.
It does. Well, I mean, the self-help is basically, it stems off of Homer and Marge having, you know, trouble with one another. And really, there could have been lots of things. There's been dozens of, you know, episode openers that work that way. But the trampoline one is so funny that it kind of absolves itself of being, you know, only tangentially related. Because really anything could have made Marge mad at Homer for him to for him to tell her that she's not fun. I mean, it could have been anything. But that is just a extremely well put together sequence. It does run a bit long for my tastes. I mean, it's the entire first act, except for like the last minute. But it's hilarious, and it's one of those things you really remember about this episode.
And it,
so I think he'd be forgiven for that.
No, yeah, and I think it actually provides a concrete example within the episode of Marge being not fun, but still being right, which is, you know, the kind of the point we get to at the end of the episode, honestly. I want to say better. Where do you think? Do you have any idea? Do you have a ballpark?
I'm looking somewhere between 10 and 15, somewhere in that neighborhood.
Really? Okay. Oof.
I mean, it's very illustrious territory, but yeah. I think it's good enough to fit in somewhere in there. I think it's better than Stark Raving Dad.
I don't know. Stark Raving Dad is really good. Michael
really?
Jackson.
You think so?
Michael Jackson, and yeah, song. That song is a damn good song. I'll agree with you that it is better than Lisa the Greek, I think. I think I like Lisa the Greek more. That's just my kind of personal nostalgia, but I think this episode is a better episode than Lisa the Greek. I don't know if it's better than Stark Raving Dad or I Love Lisa. I Love Lisa is really good too. Ralph. And
yeah, I don't think it's quite as good as I Love Lisa. It's just Stark Raving Dad. It's right there with it. And I just think the fact that the overall... No, because Stark Raving Dad actually holds together really well. Like, the whole episode from beginning to end is about one topic. There's a lot of jokes that kind of fall together.
And I mean, it's really, I really like episodes where Homer wants to be normal and he's not.
Yeah.
And he's trying to be, and then he meets Michael Jackson. Like, that whole, like, Michael Jackson is a great guest star at the near the height of his fame. And, you know, it's that song at the end, the Happy Birthday Lisa song, is so good. It's close, though. This episode is, like sneaky good. Oh.
I think you're probably right. It's not quite as good as Stark Raving Dad, because the Michael Jackson thing, plus for a season 3 episode, Stark Raving Dad is just so well put together. Wait, season 3 or season 2?
It's the first episode of season 3.
Okay, that's what I thought. It's just, it is a remarkably tight episode. So I think overall, you know, because honestly, I'm mainly doing this because of the whole trampoline thing being only tangentially related, because, you know, Michael Jackson versus Phil Hartman and Albert Brooks, that kind of evens out. But like you said, the trampoline thing, it's one of those introductory sequences which you don't normally like, whereas Stark Raving Dad, the whole thing just fits together throughout the entire episode really well. Not to mention you get a great song at the end, which always helps.
Yeah, I think thematically, Stark Raving Dad is a little bit strong. And I think that's the only thing that I would put it above Bart's Inner Child, because I agree with you that Michael Jackson is a great guest, and his singing, his song is wonderful, but the Albert Brooks and Phil Hartman together is really something special. I would, if you guys are not necessarily watching all these along with us, definitely, this is definitely worth a rewatch. It's one of the ones that I don't remember it being as good as it is. It's, I really enjoyed it a lot. It surprised me, but I think as I've gotten older, this is probably an episode that appeals to me more than it would have 5 years ago, even. But that is number 16 now on our list, right below Stark Raving Dad, right above Lisa the Greek. Cape Fear, still number one, holding strong. Tons of challenges coming up, though. Number 87 is Homer's Odyssey, last place still. But one day, it will be surpassed. It's not surpassed? What's dirt? Depassed?
Something like that.
I don't think that's a word.
Kicked in the ass.
What's our next episode, Matt?
Let me check my list. Let's see, season 5, I believe, is Boy Scouts in the Hood.
It's a good episode.
That will be interesting.
Yeah, Ernest Borgnine, Flanders... Bart struggling with being not a cool guy. It's actually a little similar to this in a way. But Homer and Bart, it's all a lot of good things in that, but I'm really looking forward to it. You can find this list, the best episode ever list, on our website. TheSimpsonsShow.com has links to everything. New episodes, downloadable and streaming there. I've extended the archive so you guys don't have to click next as often if you want to go further back. This list, links to our Facebook, to our Twitter, to our RSS feed, to our Patreon, show notes to everything. All the stuff is there. I think that'll do it. Before we go, You can find me on Twitter at MixMasterCereal. That's MixMasterCereal. Please check out my comic book podcast, Handsome Boys Comics Hour, handsomeboyscomicshour.com. And also, I'll be providing links to my Twitch stream probably on the social media this week as well, because Tuesday I'll be streaming all of Fallout 4. So if you aren't buying it or you just want to watch me kill super mutants.
Super mutants.
Yeah, I know there's super mutants in the game. They look a little different than the ones that were in 3, but regardless, I'm so excited. I'll have that out there too. Matt does not participate in social media unless you're a certain Patreon backer? Supporter?
Supporter, I think. Patreon supporter makes sense.
Patreon supporter? You will not find him.
That's true. I will be buried in the Simpsons, Planet Simpsons book once again. I've read it before, but I figured reading it all again should take more than a couple days. So I will have my face buried in there. So unless you can somehow get my attention, good luck. Sorry, guys. Maybe next week.
I wouldn't even bother. It's not worth the effort. With that, I am Robbie.
And I'm Matt.
And keep watching The Simpsons.
Shh.